talking. We're going talking today where things are popping. The Marion way, we're going to drop in on discussions of the day on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, we're going debating. We're going to debate very loud and we'll be laughing and floating high on a cloud. Phones are ringing from listeners all around on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, and we'll guess and goof and talk on Exchange, read, debate, and think it's Exchange. Tune in, we're on, turn on, I'm in, is on today, the Exchange Club.
And away we go, it's a getaway Friday, December the 12th, 2025. 12:12:25 and 12:12 past the top of the hour, 12:12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You're tuned to the Exchange Club, joined by Matt Morgan. We'll be on tonight. Don't forget the big Friday night holiday shows tonight, 8:15 until 10 p.m., and then Matt will be on 10:15 until 11. What's on tonight, Matt?
I'm going to be talking about, some football stories. There's obviously some football to talk about. The season is not over yet. And if we get around to it, some politics. But we're obviously going to start the show probably with talking about the Fruitcake Toss.
Fruitcake Toss was last night, biggest event of the holiday season. Great stuff. And Brian Murphy was the two-time winner. Two in a row. He's like the Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh,
and set a new. Are you praying now? He set a new Fruitcake Toss record of 78 feet. My goodness gracious! And then we also had Sheriff Matt Bales, number 2, 70 feet, and Ed Pickett, number 3, with 68 feet. Now Ed was the 2022 Fruitcake Toss champion. Sheriff Bales, the 2023 Fruitcake Toss champion. And we also want to thank the Industrial Club for the donuts from Buckeye Donuts and the cookies from last night. We want to thank the Salvation Army, certainly, for bringing their canteen truck and all their great stuff. The Y-Men for donating the Christmas tree, which was given to the homeless shelter. Mayor Jack Kellogg for coming out. And everybody who came out and braved the cold and had some fun last night with the Claxton Fruitcakes. And Bob Walsh for bringing the plaques in for Bob and Larry. And Brian Murphy, who got it for winning the competition.
Well, I think it was good. I mean, you know, I didn't. Last year, I don't think we had anybody throw over 70. And this year, we had, you know, Brian Murphy broke the record, and we had Sheriff Bales hit 70, I do believe. We had Ed almost hit 70.
And you believe we should have a fruitcake peace prize?
Yeah, you know, if FIFA can have a peace prize, I think we should we can have a peace prize.
You know, I think we should have one, and I think I should get it. Because I did invite Abby in for this show.
Yes,
she did not respond, but I did invite her in. So I think that was peace.
Well, I mean, they offered you the papacy. I mean, you might as well.
They did. People forget that, but I was busy at the time and had other engagements. But I invited her in because I thought we could clear all this up and you know, have a good holiday season. And here, you know, she's not here. She didn't even respond. Now, see, that's your big pet peeve, right?
Oh, well, I mean, you know, so long as you don't open it. If you open it.
I think she has. There's no way she has not opened it. It's been.
You wouldn't know.
No, there's no. I think she's got that turned off.
I don't think you can turn it off.
I think so.
I don't know that you can do that.
Because there are no little things there that says that she's read it. But did I invite her in?
Yes, she was invited in.
Is she here?
She's not here.
Did she respond?
I don't think so, no.
Nope. There you go. So, once again, I think I'm right in this.
I don't know. Maybe.
No, you know I am. You just hate to admit that you're wrong. You've been wrong all morning about this, because now you've been privy to a little bit of the conversation that happened in regard to the Fruitcake Toss last night, and you've changed your mind.
Well, I mean, it's kind of weird. I ain't gonna, you know.
She's weird.
Well, I don't know. I think she was trying to find a way to say she wasn't. She didn't want to come to the Fruitcake Toss without saying she didn't want to come to the Fruitcake Toss.
Well, I wasn't badgering her.
I mean, it is kind of funny, though, because she did just straight up, you know, say, like, you know, I wasn't nominated.
But she was.
Even one message was like, you know, you literally never read my name.
But you know she was nominated.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, again, I was telling the truth. She was wrong. I still invited her in, even beyond that, because I'm a kind gentleman, and this is what you get. So I really think I deserve the Peace Prize.
Yeah.
What does anybody think? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. If I didn't want to go to something, I would just say, I don't want to go. It's cold. I don't want to go outside.
Yep, that's fair.
You know, I got hit by a bus. You know, whatever. You know, I try to be nice.
I don't know. You could just say that you didn't want to come. I don't know why there's a need to, come up with some story.
Yeah, especially when you mentioned five times I wasn't nominated. You didn't read my name, and it seemed like it was about reading the name, even maybe more than being nominated.
I don't know. Maybe she was upset because like you no longer needed her for the hot chocolate.
Oh, listen, you are the one who said that I never asked her to do the hot chocolate, and that was the problem.
Well, I mean, that was my understanding, is that she had said that...
Needy people.
She had said that you volunteered her.
That never happened either.
Well, I mean, that's what we heard.
Such a lie.
Well, I never heard the conversation otherwise.
And by the way, yesterday, again, I did not say anything about the hot chocolate, and she brought it up.
Yes.
There you go. Once again.
Well, I think, she didn't want to come.
So why would you bring the hot chocolate up?
To basically say that I'm not bringing hot chocolate, I'm not coming.
So you're saying I've done it, I just don't have the hot water, so I'm not coming. So why bring this up at all?
I would just say I'm not coming.
Right, so why?
I think people should just be a little more direct sometimes.
You know it doesn't make any sense. Do you really believe she had the hot chocolate ready?
I don't think she had the hot chocolate. I think she just had the hot chocolate. I don't think it was like...
Right, but do you really think she had planned and just, oh, no, I couldn't find any hot water. I can't come now.
I mean, probably not.
Another lie.
I mean... I don't know. I mean,
I feel bad that people have to act like that.
She didn't have hot chocolate. I mean, she had to buy hot chocolate, but I mean...
And then realized it had no hot water?
Yeah, I guess.
There you go.
That's the plan, I suppose.
Makes no sense. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. But I like to bring this stuff up.
Has no way to transport hot water.
Okay.
That's, I guess a little more logistically difficult.
Yeah, but I guess what was the point of this story at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, the day of the fruitcake toss?
To tell you that she's not coming.
Okay.
I mean, I don't
would have sufficed.
I don't know another reason as to why. I mean, there's... I mean, she claims that she listens all the time.
Claims.
Well, I mean, if that were true, I mean, we talked all week about how the Salvation Army was going to be there and how they were going to bring the canteen, the mobile canteen, and all, all that good stuff. And she apparently didn't know that the Salvation Army was going to be
See,
there.
See, I don't think she does listen all the time. I think that's another lie we could chalk up to things. Because I know if she were listening right now... She'd say something. Because I've been quite into her this morning with issues from yesterday. And she hasn't said anything. So I know she's not listening.
Well, she's, I guess, upset.
About what? What did I do?
I don't know. She's upset about something, it seems. I mean, otherwise you would just respond.
She did not come to the toss after being nominated. I think I should be upset.
I mean,
what she got it to be upset about?
There were all kinds of people who didn't come and they were nominated.
Right! So I'm not upset. What she got to be upset about?
Maybe she really wanted to come, but she couldn't. Really wanted to toss that fruitcake, but well, she was busy or something.
She had come for 3 years. She broke a tradition. You know, once you break a tradition, where do we go? Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740, plus a holiday tradition.
Well, I mean, you know, like you can, I guess, take like leap years or something, gap years.
Well, this is not a leap year.
Well, it's a gap year, I guess, for her.
I thought this hour we would talk about your favorite, Dorothy Fulltime. Because there seems to... This was a Christmas story.
Okay.
A Christmas 2 years ago. True or false?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
You, I, Carrington, and Sean...
Yep.
All got in a car on a Sunday afternoon and drove on up to Cleveland, Ohio to go to the Tree of Lights, right?
Yep.
Hotel. It's got a ton of trees in it. And we also went, we ate that night, I remember.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
Went to some Mexican restaurant.
Yeah, I went to a Mexican restaurant.
Good stuff.
And then we went, where else did we go?
I mean, we went.
We went somewhere else.
I don't remember. I remember we
went. Oh, the Christmas Story house.
Oh, that was the whole point of the trip.
Yes, yeah, that's why we went to Christmas Story. Yeah. But then, point ground zero of broadcasting.
By the way, my aunt's favorite gift that I've ever gotten her came from the Christmas Story house.
See? You're welcome.
It is one of the leg lamp cookie cutters. They make leg lamp cookies every year.
Oh, very. I've never seen any.
Well, I mean, I brought some last
no,
year.
No, you did not.
Yes, I did.
Well, where?
I brought them last year.
Well, get her to cook some up. Bring them tonight.
Well, I'll see you tonight. Well, I don't know about tonight.
Well, what else does she got to do today?
She probably works.
Does she know it's a Christmas show tonight? You can whip cookies up and...
Is it a Christmas show tonight?
Well, it's Christmas time tonight. We'll be here at Christmas time.
We got like a couple weeks.
We got two more shows on Friday night. Now, anyway, so we're up in so I said, I'm going to take these kids, want to be in the broadcasting business, to the point blank ground zero of broadcasting, WEWS, the home of Dorothy Fulltime, the first lady of Ohio broadcasting. They have an historical marker right out front, the lady who interviewed Hitler and Einstein. And she was in broadcasting till she was 91 years old. She interviewed President Reagan and Nixon and everybody. And I said, let's go to ground zero of broadcasting in Cleveland, Ohio, WEWS, and tell what happened.
So, you know, first off, we had talked to somebody on the phone, and they were like, "Oh yeah, you can stop by and look at the pictures and whatnot, and then things like that." And then when we got to the gate, they had no idea.
No idea.
That nobody told them we were coming. So then we had to go in and wait in like the break room.
We were in the break room watching WWE because we wanted to go into the studio that Dorothy Fulltime had worked in. And there's also a picture of her hanging in the lobby, yes. And also an historical marker out front of the building.
So they were busy doing the news, so we couldn't go into the studio. And they swore up, the security people, I guess, they swore up and down that there was no picture of Dorothy Fulltime anywhere. But at some point, Scott had talked to somebody on the phone. They were like, you know, the person I talked to on the phone says that there was. So then Scott walked them to it, and they
the security guard.
Yeah, walked the security guard
through the dark building.
And apparently they had like no idea that it was there, or if they realized it, I don't know who they thought that the woman in the wall was, but
you know, it's not like she's ancient history. She retired there, I think, in like 84. I mean, it's not like it's been 100 years ago.
That's not long ago. How old was she when she retired?
I think 91.
She was working.
Yeah. Well, and my goal, listen, if people think that I would be sad if I left this gig, but the truth is I would actually have time to work on things that I really want to work on. And one of the things, I have a file at home of things I've collected about Dorothy Fulltime over the years, and a documentary needs to be done on this woman because, my God, she's been forgotten, and she is, there's so much. I mean, there's just so much. I mean, her career spanned from pre-television, like the 1930s, She started out as a lecturer, then she became a radio commentator, then she was the first woman to ever host a network news show on television, and she stayed until she was 91. She had been on television longer than anybody, and she was always in Cleveland at WEWS, but at one point, she became like a novelty because she had interviewed Hitler, and she had interviewed Einstein, and she'd interviewed Helen Keller. She'd interviewed all these people.
You interview Helen Keller?
It was difficult, she said. Difficult. And she'd interviewed all these people, and so it was funny. And she was also in her 80s and 90s. She was getting along in years. So, like, national television saw her as kind of like an oddity, a lady who'd been around since the beginning of time, had interviewed Hitler. So Johnny Carson would book her on the National Tonight Show, and Good Morning America would have her on, and The Today Show, and Larry King would have her on. All these national shows would have her on, and Johnny Carson loved having her on because she was kind of... She just said what she wanted to say.
Well, I mean, that's good. I mean, I think that's what you want in a person.
So she was like this big national deal at the end of her life. She was on Donahue nationally.
Well, I mean, I think that she deserves it. I mean, you can't, you know, interview, like, you know, Hitler and Helen Keller and, you know, all those people and not be, you know, well known.
Well, but she was like 5 foot tall, this little woman with red hair, you know, but she was just powerful. And then she got national attention for throwing Jerry Rubin off her show. That was a big deal.
Is that the I can't think of the...
He was the hippie guy. He was part of the Chicago, was it Chicago 7? Who were involved in the 68 Democratic Convention. Kind of anarchists, and he came on. It was funny because if you watch the interview,
it's the clip about cops, right? I can't think.
Yes,
I can't think of the quote, but yeah,
it's a quick interview.
She just stands up and says, "Get out of here."
Yeah, well, I wonder if that interview's online. It's not a long interview. This will be a good history lesson in Dorothy Full Time.
I'm sure it's online. I mean,
oh, it's great. Because he is as hippie as could be at the time, and here she is dressed in, you know, she's an older lady at that point. She's like 85, and they just, I think he thought he was going to, because he was known for being rude to talk show hosts. So it was a weird, yeah, there it is. Well, there's 2 minutes of it. Let's see here. Dorothy, maybe that's all the interview was 2 minutes. I know it didn't go very long. I'll say that. Yeah, this might have been the whole thing. You see how hippie he looks. Explain how he looks and how she looks.
So she's wearing she's got the red hair and she's got some big old earrings I can see. Probably diamond earrings. And she's got a nice looks like a dress probably. And then he's got some hair that looks like a shorter version of my hair pretty much. And he's
got no comb through that thing.
And he's got like a tie dye shirt on.
Yeah, he's hippie.
Or balloons maybe. I don't know, just a colorful shirt.
And and this was funny because when Phil Donahue had Dorothy Full Time on his show years later, now I'll give you his introduction to this clip. He said, you know, Jerry Rubin wrote this book, I think it was called Do It, and he went out on the talk show circuit. And then he showed this clip of Jerry Rubin on the Donahue show where Donahue's trying to question him on being a hippie and all this sort of thing. And Jerry Rubin's just all over Donahue. You know, like, you're just this plastic man and this plastic society and blah, blah, blah. And he said, I did not... And then they go back to Donahue with Dorothy. And he goes... He said, after that interview, the people who hired me and had me on television were questioning if they had made the right decision. And then he said, and then Jerry Rubin made a fatal error. He went to Cleveland and was interviewed by Dorothy Full Time. And this is what happened back in the 1970s when these two got together.
In free dope, you think you ought to be able to get it without paying?
Marijuana should be sold, or marijuana should be free in every drugstore. You ever turned on?
What do you mean by that?
ever gotten high? Stoned?
No.
No?
I'm sorry.
But you drink?
Certainly, but I don't get
stoned
from it.
Alcohol's very bad for you.
No.
Dope is good.
Who says that?
Well, everybody who takes it, you know.
Do doctors say it's good?
Well, doctors, what do they know? But people who take it, young kids who take it, know it. Everyone on TV watching out there ought to tell to smoke dope.
Well, I'll tell you something. I had a woman who took dope. She was only 20 years old, lovely and beautiful. She just came out of jail. And in order to get the dope, she became a prostitute so she'd have money for it. Mm-hmm. You think that's good?
No, well, that's because the society puts people in jail for smoking dope. There's over 300,000 people who smoke dope who are now in jail. People who drink alcohol put people who smoke dope in jail. Timothy Leary, our brother, is now in jail in California. 20 years for smoking dope, smoking flowers. And every young kid out there watching TV knows that smoking flowers is nice.
What do you mean by flowers?
Marijuana is a flower. It grows.
Oh, and you call
it's a natural thing.
All right, well, let's go.
And then you smoke it, and it's really nice. Alcohol is terrible. Alcohol knocks up your brain very bad. You know, it alcohol destroys
you. Why?
Alcohol
drinking?
Is destroyed. No, I don't drink. I mean,
well,
then
how do you know?
Well, I've tried it, and it's just crazy, and I see what happens. Alcohol has destroyed the American middle class, made it the most destructive and racist class in the history of the world.
Why do you want a revolution?
I want a revolution that can be free, so that we can free Bobby
what?
Seale. Free from racism, free from pigs. We got to eliminate all the pigs.
By pigs, you're referring to human beings or animals?
I'm referring to policemen.
Well, I got a shock for
you. You don't like that.
I'm very friendly with police.
Oh, you are you? Well, I got a shock for you. I'm very friendly with the Black Panther Party.
Out. Stop the interview.
She was a little rough in her day.
I love it.
She throws that book down, and she's had enough.
Out.
Stop the interview.
I like it.
Apparently,
I think more interviews ought to go like that nowadays. I'd watch them all.
She was like an old school marm. Out. Stop the interview. Apparently, the same thing happened with Joe Namath later on in her career.
Like Broadway Joe?
Yeah, Broadway Joe. But it wasn't on television. It happened in her office.
Oh, sad.
Yeah. Apparently, she went in. This story got around because he was supposed to be on her show that night, her little talk show there. And he came into her office, kind of ego, you know, like Joe Namath was. And she said something like, tell me about your book before they go out there. And he said, if you haven't read my book, you're not competent to interview me. And she said, Mr. Namath, get out. So that was the end of that.
Well, fair enough.
See, you don't mess with Dorothy Fulltime. She was, you know, she interviewed Barbara Walters a few times.
Look at that.
Yeah, Barbara.
Interviewing the lady who gets all the interviews.
Well, here's Barbara Walters paying tribute to Dorothy when Dorothy died in 89.
We here at TV5 have been receiving, of course, hundreds of wishes and condolences today from around the area and from around the world.
A great many broadcasters have taken time to remember Dorothy, including Barbara Walters. Earlier today, I talked with her via satellite, and she told me what she thought it was that made Dorothy so special.
She defied the prejudice against women in general, because there was a lot of prejudice about women working. She defied the prejudice about women doing the news, because she did the news. She probably was the first one who did. And she defied all the prejudices about aging. She did her job well, and she made us all very proud.
What do you think it is about Dorothy Fulltime in her career then, and in her life possibly, for as much as you know of it, that has helped Barbara Walters in hers?
I think she showed that women could do anything, that they could do it well. I think she did it not only with intelligence, but with guts and with humor. And I think that she showed that women could continue to work just as men can long after the period when supposedly they should stop. It helped me, it helped all women, and you know what else? I think it helped the men too.
Talk a little bit about that, if you could. Some of the special problems that women face in the business, and some special, very unique ones that she faced when she started.
Well, if you can imagine how difficult it is for women now who want to do the news, and of course it's changed so much. We have so many really wonderful women doing the news, but there still is a certain amount of prejudice in some places. Here was a woman who was able to do it years and years before women were even working. She worked. She did her job. She did it in television. She did it at a time when other people were saying you should quit. I mean, all of this made an enormous difference to all of us. And she always had a kind of spirit and a zest and a zip. She wasn't original.
Barbara, we thank you for taking the time. We know you are busy. It is very good of you to talk with us.
It's my pleasure to pay this respect that I can to her. I wish I had said it all to her in person.
Very nice.
Yeah, I think so.
She did have that little zippy zing to her. You know,
she would throw things down. I love it.
Well, she loved to, like, I don't know if it was called a tease. I don't know exactly what she was doing. But she was just kind of a fiery type of a personality overall. You know, I started a documentary. This is what I'll do in my retirement. But I started a documentary on her once. And, I need one of those GoFundMes, you know, pay for the documentary. Because there are still a few people around who knew her. Where is that documentary? Just a little, like, highlight reel I did with her. Oh, there it is. The Real First Lady of Television. Well, you can listen to this, and then we'll... this gives you a... You'll hear a lot of famous voices on here, like Larry King and Phil Donahue, and this was Dorothy full-time. I thought this would sell the documentary. We'll see. Can you tell me if this would sell you on old okay. Dorothy full-time? All right.
What do you attribute your long career on the air?
Well, self-examination here, Dorothy.
I eat chocolate.
I won't pretend that we can control the night or what kind of road we're on or where we will see the light. But right now I'm talking to you. I'm looking into your eyes. Right now I'm trying to show you that we're gonna be alright. Oh, I don't know what's around the bend. All I know is that my love, it knows.
Say 90. Okay. Everybody says, oh, she's 90. She thinks, she walks, she talks.
I'll tell you, Dorothy, I don't ever want you angry with me. Let me say that...
Well, would you like me to love you?
I certainly would. Yes, ma'am.
Don't let it make you nervous.
No, ma'am. I
don't know.
One year I vote Republican, the next year I vote Democrat. I'm, what is it, not bisexual, but what is it?
I don't think that's the word you wanted.
These pieces for your life because I'm forever on your side. Take my hand when you can't see the light.
Can be free so that we can free back the seal, free from racism, free from pigs. We gotta eliminate all the pigs.
But pigs, are you referring to human beings or animals?
I'm referring to policemen.
Well, I got a shock
like
for
that.
You.
You don't like that.
I'm very friendly with police.
Oh, you are you? Well, I got a shock for you. I'm very friendly with the Black Panther Party.
Out! Stop the interview.
I came into your dressing room just before the show, and I saw the color of your hair, which is not quite red. It's kind of a...
It's dyed.
Well, I didn't... You don't fool around, do you? I don't even get the questions out. I...
Yeah.
time knows no end. All these pieces fall in line because I'm forever on your side. Take my hand when you can't see light.
Why do you? Edward, 9:30 every morning. I'm here until 6:30. I get a lot of aggravations. I know I aggravate people. Not only people I work with, but the people who listen to me. And I get a lot of letters saying, take her off. Not many, one or two. And they always manage to see that I get that letter, you know.
There you go. See, would you want to see that documentary?
I'd watch it, yeah.
She'd be entertaining, wouldn't she?
Well, I mean, you know, I've only seen a couple of clips, and, she's a funny kind of lady.
Well, you saw her. She's like, interviewing the troops coming back from the Civil War there at one point, and then she's on Johnny Carson in the 80s. 740-383-9944. I think she'd be a good documentary. But I've got pictures of her that I've collected over the years.
Well, I don't know when she started, but, or started doing interviews at the very least, but, if she started in her 30s, 55 years of interviews, that's a lot of interviews.
You know what's interesting? The end is fascinating too, which is obviously not in that, but she was still working. She was 91, I think, and she was working, and she went in that day to interview President Reagan. It was via satellite. And I guess that morning she came in and she said she wasn't really feeling good, but there's video of her interviewing President Reagan. And actually, I don't know where I came by the footage, but it's like the B footage of her. They're getting her ready to interview President Reagan, putting her microphone on her, and she doesn't look good that day. Her face is kind of red, and she just doesn't look particularly good. Well, sometime between when she taped that interview with President Reagan and when she was supposed to tape her nightly newscast, she had a stroke at the station. So they took her to the hospital. And she wasn't on the air that night. And the next day, in the Plain Dealer, which was the big paper in Columbus, it was like Dorothy full-time in coma. And they put her in a coma. Apparently she had a big blood clot on her brain. And they did surgery. And they took her to a rehabilitation center. She was in a coma for quite a while. And then they took her to a rehabilitation center. And one of her friends came to visit her, I think, and said that they were holding her prison and that she wanted to get out of the rehabilitation center. So they had to get like a... because she'd outlived her daughter. So she had no relatives. So they had to get like a priest and a... a priest and a psychologist to come in and talk to her and prove that she was not fit to be living on her own and go back to work. And then while all that was going on, she had another stroke. And then the doctor said there are wires that are never going to be connected again. But she lived like another 5 years in the nursing home.
Did she ever get back to normal?
Nope. And then she died of a stroke. Well, but she was 96.
Three strokes is rough.
But, my understanding is, it's funny because I also came by, I don't know how I came by this footage. I don't remember where it came from years ago. But they did like a 90-second birthday party for her while she's in the home, and the TV station came and filmed it, but they never used the footage. I think because they didn't want to show her at that time. She looks like herself, but she's in a wheelchair, and she's got a blanket on, and her hands are kind of shaky, and she's speaking kind of softly, and it's different.
She knew who she was and everything, though, all the...
I don't... She might have. I mean, it doesn't get that deep. I don't think they don't sit there and interview her. She just that you see her coming out in the wheelchair, and you see her hands are shaky because her hands come out from under the blanket at one point, and they sing happy birthday to her, and then President Reagan sent a letter, and they read it to her. And she does say something about their singing. They sing happy birthday to her, and she says something about you need to get singing lessons or something. But that's about it.
Well, she's funny.
Yeah, yeah. But she was certainly, she wasn't going to come back to work at that point.
Well.
So, you know, she had an interesting life.
Sounds like it.
Yeah. 96 years, almost
a
century.
That's a long life.
It's a long life. 740-383-9944. But the big point is, when we were at WEWS, the big drama.
The Woos building.
There is no Woos. Where do you get Woos?
I'm telling you, the lady on the phone said the Woos building. She said that there's a plaque, and we can take a picture with the Woos sign and take a picture of the plaque.
First of all, I was on the phone with these people as well. I was on the phone with him. I was in the car. Nobody said Woos.
I'm telling you, the lady on the phone said Woos.
What did she... What? The Woos plaque. What is the Woos plaque?
No. On the side of the building, there's big old...
WEWS.
Letters. Yeah, WEWS.
That's it's like WWGH.
But she said Woos.
No, she did not say Woos.
Look, even me and Karen didn't even agree on this one. The lady said Woos.
I think she said news. I think she said this is a news building.
No. She said you can take a picture out front of the Woos building.
If I wrote WEWS on a sheet of paper and gave it to you, you would say Woos?
Probably. I'd be like, what?
No.
How else do you pronounce Woos? Or
W-O-O-Z.
Yeah, I mean, but that's a different spelling.
Woos.
Yeah.
What would that even mean?
I don't know.
Can you imagine Dorothy full-time saying, welcome to Woos? No, it wouldn't have happened. She wouldn't have had that. She'd have thrown her book down on the station manager's desk and said, I'm out of here.
She would have fired him.
She would have. She had that kind of power in those days. Now, it's not the... You remember what else happened that night with Carrington back there in the...
I do, yeah. I thought about bringing it up.
Well, I don't know if we can talk about that. Yeah. I think there's still some... There might still be some litigation. I couldn't believe that when I was seeing it happen.
Well, it happened, I guess.
Learned something about her that night.
I thought it was funny.
God almighty.
You know? Oh, it's the same night that the knitting needle or whatever, the crochet hook got left in your car.
There you go.
And that came up like 3 months later on a taping.
She was just holding on to that. You still got my crochet needle. She never had to ask for it back, and I told her I had it.
That was fun. Good time.
That was a fun trip, if I remember right.
I think so, yeah.
It was. Cleveland is nice in holiday time. Sometime we should actually get to Dorothy's studio, actually do that. Call them on the phone.
What do you think about the Browns' new stadium?
I don't think, whatever, if that's what people want.
Well, I don't know that people want it.
Somebody wants it.
Yeah, the Browns.
Well, okay. I was pulling out the... there's a People magazine out now, and every year at the end of the year, they put all the famous people who have died. You know, a lot of famous people died this past year.
I can't think of any. I've just forgotten. There were some. I've forgotten.
Is today Dick Van Dyke's 100th birthday?
I don't know who that is.
Oh, he's a very famous actor. No, tomorrow.
What movie is he playing?
Oh, it was in Mary Poppins.
Never seen
it. He was on Diagnosis Murder, the Dick Van Dyke Show. Turns 100 tomorrow. Isn't that nice?
Well, that's a good long time right there.
He's going to have a hometown visit ahead of his milestone 100th birthday.
Oh, is he the main character in Night of the Museum?
Well, he might be.
Well, it's listed there, but I don't know if that's the main character of his.
I interviewed him.
Good movie.
Years ago. Nice man.
That's good.
But to interview somebody who was in Mary Poppins.
Oh, Night of the Museum.
Do you understand about Mary Poppins?
I've never seen Mary Poppins.
I can't believe he's going to turn 100 tomorrow.
That's a good time. Good.
Pretty good.
Yep.
I don't know if we've ever played my Dick Van Dyke interview. It's not a 45-minute one, because I did it back when I was at WMRN, so it's probably...
So you just have an interview that you've never played?
No, I'm sure it played there, but I'm not sure what year that was that it played.
Oh.
He sang during the interview. I don't even know if it's in the...
He can sing.
Yeah, he can sing. I don't even know if it's in the archives here. The old Dick Van Dyke interview. But it's nice to know that I interviewed Dick Van Dyke at some point in my career. That's a nice thing to have under your... maybe. No, maybe not. I don't know. Maybe it's not in the machine here. Oh, there it is. It does exist. Here we go. Here's a little Dick Van Dyke. Turns 100 tomorrow.
This is Scott Spears, and today we have a guest that no television or motion picture fan will want to miss. From the Dick Van Dyke Show to Mary Poppins, he's been entertaining us for years and years. Today, 4 years in the making, words I thought I might never get to say. Listeners, our guest today is the legendary, the iconic Dick Van Dyke. Mr. Van Dyke, how are you?
Hi, iconic. I like that.
Well,
it sounds like a disease.
Right off the bat, you got us laughing. I like it. I like it. Mr. Van Dyke, I want to start way back here. I want to talk about your childhood. Born in West Plains, Missouri, but grew up in Danville, Illinois.
That's right. If I did grow up, which I doubt.
Well, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Tell me about that Midwestern upbringing in Danville.
Well, you know, I've had a lot of chance to talk about it lately because I grew up during the Depression. My childhood was spent during the Depression. And so I know what those kinds of things are like. But it was...
Isn't this fascinating listening to Dick Van Dyke?
I was born in 25 during the coup.
He sang in this interview. I wonder where it is.
Written.
You don't sound like a real person.
Did you have a lot of anxiety?
Well, yeah.
You sound like an AI.
You sound like an AI. I sound like AI?
Yeah.
Does it sound like me?
No, if I heard a video, if I saw a video nowadays and that was the voice I heard, I'd question it.
Young guys and myself.
It's just one of those films that has helped.
Did pretty well. Song of Music, Sound of Music. I think it did for France and the... It's a weird one. Certainly was a landfall for me because all we did was laugh all day.
Now, you know, that cast was so great.
On that brown or defrost.
Oh, there it is. There's Ray Sings.
Right.
Do you want to say a few of those words?
Sure. My quartet and I, we sing it.
Oh, okay.
And they're very nice. Do you want to hear it?
Go ahead.
So you think that you've got trouble. Well, trouble's a bubble. So tell old Mr. Trouble to get lost. Why not hang your head up high and stop crying, start trying, and don't forget to keep your fingers crossed. When you find the joy of living is loving and giving, you'll be there when the winning dice are tossed. A smile is just a frown that's turned upside down. So smile and that frown will defrost. And don't forget to keep your fingers crossed. Ba-doo-doo.
Hey, that's great. That's great.
Yeah, and we sing it in harmony. Everybody just loves it.
And Maury Amsterdam wrote
Maury that. Wrote them and they work entertaining at charities. Almost everybody work entertaining at... I've always exercised. I get up in the morning and have a cup of coffee and get to the gym before I talk myself out of it. It's a... something that people my age should, you know, my generation thought that, knew that exercise was important and valuable, but now they realize that it's everything. And I just try to get my contemporaries to get over to the gym and do some, move their butts a little bit. But then I come back and do a little animation on the computer. Usually I have a meeting or two. I'm working on a book right now, and I'm working on a one-man show.
Oh. Are you thinking of touring the country with
well,
that?
Well, not the whole country, but I am putting together a one-man show, and I think just to kind of wrap things up and go out and say hello to everybody.
Well, that would be great.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
What a great run that would be for you.
Oh, it'd be fun.
Now, would there be singing and stories?
Oh, yeah. I don't want to just stand there and talk. No, I'm probably going to bring my quartet with me, and then we'll throw in you know some music and some dancing.
Boy, that'll be great.
Yeah, instead of just a monologue.
Yeah, definitely we'll look for that. The big question, Dick, years from now, because you're still working hard, but you're going to be remembered for so many things, obviously. Dick Van Dyke Show, Diagnosis Murder, Mary Poppins, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, the things we've talked about today, and a lot of little things you've done along the way. But years from now, what's that epitaph going to read? What would Dick Van Dyke's epitaph read?
Oh, well, I hope that I lightened up people's lives a little bit. That's not a bad job.
No, no. And you know what? I think no truer words can be spoken. And Mr. Van Dyke, I know you don't do these interviews very often, but boy, I have enjoyed this today. You are an icon, no doubt about it. Absolutely.
Well, thank you, Scott.
You're a lot of fun to talk with, and I hope maybe in the future you do come back with us from time to time. Scott Spears with the amazing Dick Van Dyke.
There it was, Dick Van Dyke.
Very nice.
Very nice. Turns 100 tomorrow.
Doing well.
Yeah. I don't know if he ever did that tour, but...
didn't keep up with him.
You know, I don't know what year that was. That had to be a while ago, though. So you don't think that sounded like me?
No.
At all?
No.
Oh.
I mean, I could hear it, but it sounds like a replication. It doesn't sound like, it doesn't sound real.
Sounds like I might have had a cold when I interviewed him.
I mean, that might be it. It just doesn't sound like it doesn't sound like you.
I didn't even know that was in the machine. 25 minutes with Dick Van Dyke. That's pretty good.
Well, yeah, that's
and he sang. Cool. How many people can say Dick Van Dyke sang to them?
What song was he singing?
That was a theme song to the Dick Van Dyke Show. Mm. You know what's interesting? Yesterday, I was talking to somebody about the new Happy Gilmore movie. I haven't seen it, but they said it stunk.
Yep, that's what I heard.
Okay.
Also haven't seen it.
Well, here's the funny... They said, well, here's the reason it stunk, is number one, because Chubbs is dead, who was Apollo Creed, Carl Weathers, he's died since, and the big scene, Bob Barker, who he gets in a fight with in the movie, golfing, is dead. So you couldn't have either one of them in it, and that pretty much ruined the movie. And I said to this, you know, young person, like, I don't think they're 20, I said, you know, Bob Barker used to come on my show. I had Bob Barker on, like, 3 or 4 times. They're like, you did not. I said, yes, I did. Yes, I did. I had Bob Barker on. He said, you did not have the guy who gets in a fight with Happy Gilmore, not the host of The Price is Right for all those years, but that fight with I said, yes, I had Bob Barker on. Matter of fact, we talked about the Happy Gilmore movie. And he actually had to go to YouTube and find it, and he still said, I don't think that's him. I think that's AI. I said, no, I had Bob Barker on several times.
What did Bob Barker have to say about the fight?
Oh, he just said it gave him a whole new generation. He said he got this call from Matt because he was known for golfing. He liked to golf in the celebrity golf tournaments. And he was well known from The Price is Right. And apparently Adam Sandler was a fan of The Price is Right.
That's such an Adam Sandler. I don't know. He's such a weird guy.
Well, he said, nobody ever seen Bob Barker like that, using profanity and doing that sort of thing. And he said, I'll do it. And, they did it.
Worked out pretty well.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And Bob wins the fight, which is...
Yes.
Yeah. Which was perfect. But Bob... Everybody knew Bob Barker. You know, that's what was great about that. But you don't... Again, I'm telling you, that's old people's niches in Hollywood. You put them in things where you don't... completely different from what they actually do.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that's why, Betty White had to think of her name. I think that's why Betty White has done pretty well, or I think...
She's going now, too.
I was about to say, she was doing pretty well there towards the end.
Well, it's because they would give her this horrendous dialogue where it was just profane and all this, and you wouldn't expect that coming out of Betty White.
I think they tried to do the same thing with Dolly Parton at one point, but I don't think it worked out quite the same.
No, it takes us... I think Betty White and Bob Barker had a sense of humor. Some people take it too seriously and won't do it. But you know Bob Barker, and probably only because of Happy Gilmore.
Well, I mean, I never watched The Price is Right when Bob Barker was the host, but I knew he was the host of of The Price is Right.
Forever.
Well,
like 35 years or something.
Who's the host of The
like.
Price is Right now?
I think Drew Carey.
Yeah.
Bob's dead.
You'll have that, I guess.
But he lived to like 99 or something. He lived a long time.
You know, once those people get into those jobs, they're there forever.
Yeah, you stay in a job like that. If the job's still there, you don't leave the job until somebody tells you to leave the job.
I mean...
That's why people pass their prime, because people, you know...
Gosh.
Somebody needs to tell you.
I can't even think of any of the people's names, but they're all, I mean, I recognize them from all the shows.
Like the other night, you know what got the big reaction in the YouTube episode we have up? That Mary Ellen putting on those wreath glasses. Because people don't see the Treasurer of the United States wearing wreath glasses.
I guess not. I mean,
there's something about it.
I think Mike said it. I didn't say it at the very least. The only one of us who's wearing glasses,
Doesn't need them.
Yeah, she's the only one of us wearing glasses who doesn't need them, and she had the wreath glasses on.
Yeah, and she's funny. Like when we were doing those videos the other night, do you remember we did three at the end, and we were doing that one about McDonald's and the Grinch. And I always go to everybody in the video so they can say something. And I don't think she had a clue about what to say about the Grinch or McDonald's. So I said, Mary Ellen, what do you make of all this Grinch madness at McDonald's? She goes, I have nothing to say. And that just made Mike laugh incredibly hard.
It was funny.
She just said it like that. I have nothing to say. She can be funny in those shows.
I think we could put Mary Ellen on a stand-up comedy tour.
Well, it's because of her delivery. She's so dry. You know, there's no... It's just dry humor. Like the time I said that people don't go to the library anymore. Man.
Why, yes, they do. Yeah. Why would you say such a thing?
And I talked about her feud with George Voinovich, and she said, well, I met him on a plane years later, and he didn't even know who I was. And I said, I'm your treasurer. I was your treasurer. And I said, well, maybe he forgot who you were. I was trying to save him, you know, because George Voinovich is dead. She's like, he knew. I love it. That's comedy.
Oh.
Well, we'll be back tonight.
It'll be great.
8:15. Maybe we'll have some more anecdotes like this, and who knows who'll shut
us off. We can queue up some records.
Well, we can queue up
records. It'll give me some practice. I got a record player.
Oh, that's right. Well, we'll do more records tonight because we did all the clips last week, so tonight we'll do the records. We'll have some holiday tunes. Are you be ready for it? Last week you were not ready.
Well, I think I have it. Well, I won't be perfect. I don't think. But I mean, I'll say that you know, you just like it's not.
That's why we cut it short last week.
Needle's not directly in the center.
We're gonna get out the Ruth Lyons record tonight and play Hey Nani Nani or whatever song. There was another Ohio broadcasting icon.
I don't know anything about Ruth.
Well, we'll have to learn about that tonight.
I know
as well.
About Dorothy Fulltime.
And Ruth Lyons. We'll learn about Ruth tonight. We'll be back tonight, 8 to 10. Don't miss that. Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
We will continue to make glad the heart of childhood.
Your place for holiday fun.